Hi, this is Michael Buffer, and you're listening to BBC Radio Sheffield.
I can't wait, you know, the turnaround from the last fight straight into this. You know, I'm very happy with that. I've done all the hard work now in the gym. The next couple of days is just about relaxing, you know, enjoying myself and looking forward to the fight.
When a fighter's worked so hard for a world title to defence, to go straight back into training for another fight 2 months later, what kind of a challenge was that?
You know, it went hard. You know, it's what I love. I love competing. I love training. And, you know, I was straight away to Eddie after the Jojo Dan fight. Get me on as quick as possible. I need to make up for that last time I had out. And, you know, in a delivery, you know, he said, what about this fight? And what about this fighter? And I said, you know, Frankie Gavin's wanted this fight for, you know, for many years. He's always said that he's seen things in my armour that he's going to exploit, and good luck to with him with that. And like I said, I'm very happy that I'm fighting so, you know, so quick from the last fight.
What do you think he's going to try and do this weekend?
I'm hoping he comes to fight and give the, you know, the paying public, the fans, what, you know, that they want to see a great all-action fight. You know, I'm not wanting him to be negative and run away. I want him to fight, you know, come to fight, because, you know, I'm leaving it all on the line. I'm giving him the opportunity to fight for this world title. So, you know, give back to the fans and have a fight with me.
A bit of fun on Twitter as well in the week leading up to it. You said you don't see it going beyond three rounds. I think you found that rather amusing. But how early do you think you can win this weekend?
You know, I'm not looking to go 12 rounds. I'm looking to seek and destroy in this fight. Not taking anything away from Frankie, you know. It's just what I'm wanting to show, you know, people that, you know, I'm the number one in this division.
What does it mean to you to be fronting a bill as good as this as well?
You know, I have to nip myself sometimes. You know, a kid from a council estate in Sheffield, topping a bill at the O2 in London. You know, I've come a long way, but people cap yourself off, and, you know, I'm far from finished yet. You know, I want to excel to the highest limit that you can reach.
Eddie Hearn has been talking about what is potentially next for you if you win this fight, and while you're not going to look beyond Frankie Gavin, when he mentions names like Brandon Rios, Manny Pacquiao, does that excite you?
Oh, it excites me unbelievably. It's like, you know, I've always wanted to fight the best, and, you know, I'm champion now, and them fights can be made, so I'm looking forward to dealing with Frankie. But also, you've got to understand that after beating him, there's them big fights out there. But like I said, I'm not looking past Frankie. You know, when he turns up on his day, he's a handful. So, you know, I've made sure that I'm going to be ready for Saturday.
It's a real challenge. It's a domestic fight. It's the first time in history two Brits have challenged for the world welterweight title. Bring something different. You know, Frankie Gavin's got a couple of thousand coming down from Birmingham. They're going to make a lot of noise. He's well up for this fight. It's his chance to change his life. He has the pedigree to contend with Kell Brook. He's not boxed at that level. But what we've always known about Frankie Gavin, former world amateur champion, undefeated British and Commonwealth champion, he has the ability to become a world champion. Unfortunately for him, he's against, in my opinion, the very best welterweight in the world in Kell Brook. Will Kell Brook take this challenge lightly? Many feel he might. I don't think he has. I think his confidence is through the roof right now, and he wants to go out and put in a devastating display. Three world title fights on the bill, two British title fights, a Commonwealth title fight, Anthony Joshua against Kevin Johnson. It's the biggest night of boxing in Britain for many years. There'll be 18,000 sold out in the arena on Saturday, and that itself will present just a few obstacles for Kell Brook, because he hasn't boxed in front of that kind of crowd before. You know, we just filled Sheffield Arena, 9,000 for the Jojo Dan fight. We're double that now. And it's great for Kell to get on the road and box in other cities, because we know he's a huge star in Sheffield, but he's also a national star, and we believe a global star as well. Frankie Gavin, he's not going to lay down. This is his shot that he's dreamed of all his life, and now he's got it. He's also a realist. He knows how good Kell Brook is, but he believes that if he executes his game plan and gets it right on the night, he will beat Kell Brook. He'll have to be at his very best, because right now, Kell Brook is one of the hottest commodities in world boxing.
What does Kell have to do? How well does he have to perform if he wants these top fights that he's been talking about for a year now?
The pressure's on Kell Brook because he has to perform in style. Everyone's expecting him to look sensational against Frankie Gavin. Frankie Gavin is a difficult fighter to look good against because technically he's so good. He's an awkward southpaw. He's got skills to burn. But Kell, as he said, he's on a seek and destroy mission to go out there and just destroy Frankie Gavin and do it in fine style. This will be watched all around the world. He wants to continue the statement that he made against Jojo Dan. And he believes, and I believe as well, I believe he's the best welterweight in the world, Kell Brook. And, you know, even with the likes of Mayweather, I believe Kell Brook's the one. that can challenge Mayweather and cause him all kinds of problems. And first he has to get past Frankie Gavin. And all the talk about the August fight, the September fight, whether it's Rios, whether it's Pacquiao later in the year, none of it matters. At first he has to beat his countryman. And if he takes his eye off the gas, and if he's taken his eye off the ball in camp, he's in for a very difficult night on Saturday.
Rios has said that he's interested in coming over here to fight Cal Brook. You think Pacquiao could be a possibility as
well?
Yeah,
not till later in the year. You know, Pacquiao won't be back till October, November. We've already spoke to Bob Arum. They're interested in that fight. And Rios is a Bob Arum fighter as well. So, you know, this is what awaits for Cal Brook. But if you take your eye off the ball and you get beat on Saturday night, it's all over.
Is Bramall Lane a possibility at the end of August?
We're already in talks with Bramall Lane, but everything's on ice because of the fight on Saturday. If he can do the business, Bramall Lane's a real possibility for the end of August.
Saturday night's going to be great at the O2 Arena. Sold out. Just a great night. A great night for me. I'm still a fan, so I'm glad to be a part of it.
How do the big nights of boxing in the UK compare to the United States?
You know, I have to say, and I'm being redundant here because I've said it many times before, I've always been impressed with the fans in the UK. I've been impressed with their loyalty, especially. You know, I've been doing this for 3.5 decades. And all those fights in Madison Square Garden, in Las Vegas, you know, that featured Lennox Lewis, Joe Calzaghe, Prince Nazim, Ricky Hatton, thousands of fans would come in. Sometimes they wouldn't even have tickets, but they just wanted to be in this same building in Las Vegas, or they wanted to be in a hotel across the street from the Garden and watch it on TV and be a part of all the excitement and energy. And you don't find that with any other fans in the world, and it's really a tribute to their loyalty and their support.
You were in Sheffield for Cal's last fight, doing the announcing. What was the atmosphere like standing in the ring announcing Cal for that evening there?
Great atmosphere, and I think what was really really nice, you know, it was a homecoming of sorts after a very severe injury, you know, where he was thought perhaps he would never fight again, and you wouldn't even know that he had been injured so severely, and sometimes guys like that would take years just to be able to walk properly without a cane. Here he is, a welterweight champion defending his title in the ring in front of a hometown crowd, sold out. Very exciting, very exciting.
And what do you make of Cal, who's a bit of a rising star, isn't he? I mean, we know him very well over here in the United Kingdom, but do you think that his star is growing as well in the United States?
I hope so. And, you know, I mean, you have hardcore fight fans that follow everything, courtesy of social media and the internet. And that really increases the visibility and fans' knowledge of fighters from around the world, whereas before in the U.S., they had to rely on sports writers that, how can I say this nicely? You know, they editorialize, they think nobody, you know, east of New York or west of California really fits into the scheme of things in the world of boxing. But now fight fans are becoming more and more knowledgeable, more sophisticated, and courtesy of the internet, courtesy of a million different cable and satellite TV stations, they get to see these fighters. And Kell's fight was on Showtime, a big premium network in America. So more and more fans in the States, they know about Kell. And I think he's definitely a rising star. But what I like about him, here it is just 2 months later. You know, and you don't see this in the world of boxing politics and favoritism and that sort of thing. Usually champions fight twice a year. 2 months later, he's back in the ring defending his title. That's a fight fans fighter, and that's what fans want to see.
Cal boxed his last fight in Sheffield. Fantastic result, you know, after seven months out. He performed really well. That invigorated him in his training. He had a couple of days off, and as you know, he ran the Sheffield Half Marathon. Did it in a good time. He did a bit of a meet and a greet on the way around, signed a few autographs, posed for pictures with the fans. And, you know, he said there's nothing like being fit, and he was straight into training camp. Had some good sparring partners over in Fortaventura for a couple of weeks warm weather training. And, yeah, it's all gone well. So, you know, I think this is probably the shortest period of time he's had for a fight. But he's kept on his fitness. You know, he's not took any time off. and hopefully that'll reflect in the ring on Saturday night.
In many ways, is that a good thing that he's just been able to carry on working?
Some people mentally can't do it because, you know, after 7 months of training and going through several camps away from home, from your kids, you know, and in that time he had the birth of his daughter. It's a lot to get through, and you know, some people want to mentally switch off after that. But Kel, you know, he's so motivated that he's managed to put that all behind him and say, you know, let's get into the next fight. And we, at that point, we didn't have anybody lined up. And then Eddie came up with Frankie Gavin. You know, he's I think at the time he was rated number 3 in the IBF, and he was due to fight an eliminator with Timothy Bradley, which was a dangerous fight for Frankie Gavin. So, you know, Frankie's basically jumped the queue and got his title fight first with Kel. You know, it could be classed as a mandatory, this fight, realistically. I mean, after this, I think Timothy Bradley's next in line, which Kel doesn't have to defend well December. So, yeah, he's invigorated, he's motivated, and he's ready for Saturday.
What kind of a threat will he pose, do you think?
Every fight's a threat. You can't ever overlook anybody. You know, it's just the way that Kel deals with him. Frankie Gavin, in my opinion, will come to spoil and get through 12 rounds on the back foot. I think he'll be happy to get through the fight, you know, just to finish on his feet. And, you know, it's Kel's plan to make sure he doesn't finish on his feet. You know, if Kel's going to be the fighter that he says he's going to be, he has to get rid of people like Frankie Gavins and Jojo Danza of this world. He has to get rid of them inside the distance. You know, he's a concussive puncher. Kel has had some good sparring, but Frankie's, you know, he's like the will-o'-the-wisp. You know, sometimes you're punching thin air with him. If you try and load up too much, or, you know, try and bang him out too early, you know, he gets your measure and starts being elusive, and it's down to Kel to close him down and get the job done.
Kel looked terrific against Jojo Dan. Do you expect an equally good, if not better, performance this time?
Difficult to say, because I didn't expect Kel to pull the performance out, you know, that he did against Jojo Dan. I thought it'd be a lot tougher fight, but Kel obviously had other ideas in his head, and it felt right to Kel. And I think if it had gone any longer with Jojo Dan, you know, he could have turned it into a scrappy fight. Kel says that his punches weren't, you know, hurting him; they were bouncing off him, and he was prepared to take a few to get a few off. You know, with Frankie Gavin, he's not a massive puncher, but he's very good on his feet. He's tricky. You know, he can avoid them kind of shots, and you know, it's just a case of Kel keeping his cool, being focused, picking his shots, and making sure that everything he throws, he lands. And if he does that and keeps composed, I think, you know, he'll get Frankie Gavin out there somewhere at the halfway point.